Romans 13. Anything in there you wanted to bring up before we go into it? It's interesting to come across a text like this in the times in which we live, isn't it? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So we have to understand in the context of eternity. And it's, as we look at these things, and we really do have to examine it in that light, because it's hard for us to accept some of the things that happen directed by government through time. What would you say is probably the worst thing that government in all of history has ever done? Okay, abortion, Holocaust, okay, grow, okay, civil war, okay, try to keep God out of the government. Who killed Jesus? Government did, okay? So if government ordered the execution of our Savior, remind me whose plan that was. It was God's plan. Hard for us to accept that. But it was government initiated. The citizens called for it. The government answered and said, we'll do it. So they killed Jesus. That turned out to not be permanent, didn't it? But they killed Jesus, but that was a government act, okay, which execution is a government act. So in the context of eternity, was that a good thing? It was necessary, wasn't it? So all these other things that we named, now I will say that while abortion is legal, the government doesn't force you to get one. So it's an awful thing that it's even legal, especially with the technology we have, the medical advances we've made, to be able to look at the viability of a child and survivability, even, 20 weeks, 24 weeks. It's early and it's critical, but it happens. Babies survive and thrive. So to be at this point in history and medical technology and advancements and still allow and legalize abortions is awful, but the government doesn't force you to do it. The legalization, and we keep going down this road, and the legalization of gambling and alcohol and drugs, and we keep marching down that road. Soon it's going to all be legal, but nobody says you have to take it. Except now we're dealing with the vaccine, and they're forcing the military, forcing soldiers to take it, and forcing them out if they won't, and that's tragic. But again, government. The Bible says that we are to be subject to those powers because God has ordained them. Now, does that mean that we should go along with the Holocaust? No. Does that mean we should join in and do it? No, absolutely not. I think that's one of the most awful things government has ever done, along with all these wars. How about Jim Crow laws, right? Is it okay to keep black people from voting? Is it okay to force a sect of society to drink at a different water fountain, to go in a different door, or eat at a different restaurant? Government. So how did we get where we are from where that was? Because there were people who stood up to the government. Would you say that was the right thing to do? Slavery was legal. Nobody forced you to have a slave, but if you were a slave, you were forced to stay. And so, again, how did that change? Because somebody stood up and said it must change. We shifted them, didn't we? But in the context of government, in other words, resistance is the only way to change it. This situation up here on the border with Canada, with the trucks that are blocking access. And it is resistance. Why? Why are they doing it? Because they're trying to force them to get a vaccine. So government forcing medication on somebody. And so the people stand up and say, we're not going to do it. In fact, we're going to resist you. So while we sometimes get caught in the weeds of the politics of it and drown in that, you know, it's the funny thing about political debates. Have you ever studied being a lifeguard? Anybody ever studied that? What happens when somebody, a lifeguard, tries to save somebody from drowning? A lot of times that person, the victim, the one who's trying to be saved, fights off the one who's trying to save them. And the lifeguard's there to save them, but sometimes it ends taking him down too, and that's how political debate is. We go in trying to solve problems and help people understand truth, and, you know, we end up both drowning. So we don't want to get into politics of it, just to the point of government sometimes does the wrong thing. Go ahead. Oh, it is. I don't think there's any could be about it. We're marching right toward it. He said it could lead to the chip. Guys, we're right on the cusp right here. I mean, the ability, Brother Rodney. You look at what's going on over there right now. And you look at how, and again, we understand there are some things that have to happen. When you read Revelation, you have to put it in the proper context. Because right now, Russia is not invading Jerusalem. Okay, that is, but that in Revelation, it will happen. They'll come from the north, and that's Moscow, Gog and Magog. That's way down the road. Okay, that's not here. But we can see, we can hear the drumbeat as we're headed that direction. The invention of the rice-sized chip that can go in your hand so you can scan. How many of you, I don't know, should I ask this, but how many of you use those credit cards where they have the little thing on, you can just swipe it at the gas pump? You don't swipe it, you just wave it. You just put it up against it. No contact. The funny thing is, it's no contact, and then you have to punch in your zip code. I don't know if anybody notice that? But so it's not no contact. But anyway, you can wave your card, all right, and it reads it. Why does it, how does it read it? Because it's got that chip on it. That same chip that could go in a rice-sized little, you know, chip in your hand, and you could be able to scan that. You go to the doctor, you don't have to fill out paperwork anymore. That's almost worth it, isn't it? So, hey, guys, not just that, but listen, the advancement, the way this is going to be sold, and the reason it's going to be so valuable, is the convenience of all your financial information. So you go to apply for a loan, swipe, right? You transactions, you don't have to carry checks, you don't have to carry cash anymore. Cashless society, zip, it's paid for. You can get into your office, you know those things at the hospital, you have to have that badge, and you swipe it. No, not anymore, just put your hand up there, zip, you're in. We're there, guys. We are there. And now it may be a two-step process where you scan your chip and you scan your eyes. This technology has been around for decades now. Yes, Brother Sonny, we're there. And there, we're coming to that point. Okay, I'll stay on it just a little bit longer. So the problem with the vaccine cards is you can forge them. Right, because I mean, you just write your information on there, and somebody says, I see your card. Oh, here's a card. Oh, okay, you can come in. But they can be forged. How do we beat that? Electronic chips. Go ahead. Every eye shall see you. Elon Musk. That's who's behind that. You mean like Jefferson County, right? Yeah. Right. All right. We're so close. And just go back to the 80s when CNN came around, right? You were able to see what was going on around the world. Boy, it was great. 24-hour news and cycles, you know, 15-minute cycles. You could see everything that's going on in the world. Fantastic. Not anymore. In the 80s, I said. good one, Tim. But we're just marching. Guys, I'm telling you, and I don't have to convince you of this. This is reality. The way we're going to overcome the fraud on the vaccine passports, on the cards, is to electronic chip. And you thought you didn't want to get the vaccine. Wait till they tell you you have to get a chip. It has nothing to do with Romans 13. Go ahead. Brother Bill. Of course not. Well, here's my question. Do you have no compassion for your loved one? Because if you put this chip in them, we'll be able to locate them with the satellites no matter where they are. Guys, that's where we're marching. And you know what? It's a legitimate idea. The problem with most things is that they serve a good purpose and a proper purpose, but they're misused for evil purposes. What's that? That's right. Yeah, exactly. And so while having a chip, you know, we talk about, especially when it comes to Alzheimer's and dementia, we don't want to lose our loved ones. We don't want them to, you know, we have silver alerts. They get in their car, they drive away, and how do you find them? And then you have a locator, but what if they don't want to wear the locator? And that's the case. They don't want to. They don't want it on their ankle or their arm or their belt or whatever. There's all kind of different ways that you can track things, and the ultimate solution is going to march us right into the Antichrist and cashless society. And here's the thing. You won't be able to buy or sell without the chip, right? Without the mark. The Bible says mark. And we're there. This is not a fantasy. This is not an idea anymore. Guys, we're so close to the return of the Lord. We better make sure our accounts are settled. We are that close. And, you know, make plans, pay your life insurance, you know, have a will, all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, we're that close. We're so close. Yeah, that's right. We're looking forward to it. But so when it comes to what Paul wrote here about being obedient to authority and all authority is ordained, understand this. It's not always wrong to resist authority. We just have to have the mindset of the eternal plan that God has in place. By the way, is the Antichrist part of God's plan? It's prophecy. It's going to happen. The worldwide, what do they call it? New World Order. Is it part of God's plan? It's going to happen. It's the beast, you know, Babylon, the religious center of the universe, all of those things that are talked about in Revelation. It's going to happen. It doesn't mean that we should go along with it and support it. So be cautious, because I know people will take Romans 13 and say, well, you shouldn't resist the government. I'll tell you something. There are some things that are non-negotiable and should be. And when it comes to government, by the way, I'm a government employee, right? I'm not in the church, but I'm a government. And look around. Most people in here have at some point been part of the government. And so There does come a point at which we have to resist what is wrong, and we have to stand for what is right. And so don't malign people who resist the government. If you are not resisting the government and other people are, you might need to step back and just evaluate. I'm not saying you're wrong, but just step back and evaluate what's going on. And that's not political. It has nothing to do with politics. That is just absolute fact from Romans 13. He says, obey the government as much as you can. That's true. But remember that slavery was government authorized. And all of these laws that kept a certain sect of population down were authorized by the government. And so at some point you have to resist. It might not be the cause you're thinking of, but at some point you have to resist and take a stand and stand for what's right. Look at, well, that's political. I'll stay out of it. No, I won't. All right. So, but you know, you have there's a church in Tallahassee that has opened a homeless shelter, right? And so they say, well, this is part of our faith. Bible says you need to take care of these people. And so what we're doing is part of our religious beliefs. And the city says, yeah, but you're not zoned for a homeless shelter. And so there's a fight. Now, I'm sure that at some point the two sides could get together and negotiate and find an agreeable place to do what they need to do and want to do. And that's where we have to find the common ground instead of just, you know, fighting all the time. Sometimes there's something we could do together and make it work. Okay. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Now, this is Paul, who would end up in prison, who would end up, you know, restricted for his travels, not able to minister effectively. But remember, God warned him about one misstep. And if he had not done what he did, being hard-headed, he would have had his freedom. Okay, so sometimes, you know, we choose the wrong fight. That's the truth. And we have to be cautious not to choose the wrong fight. So if we see that the government is opposing that which is good, then obviously that's not what Paul's talking about. Understand, I'm not telling you to go against Romans 13. I'm telling you that it's not all encompassing, right? If we'd have been talking about slavery here, obviously that's not all encompassing. If we were talking about the Holocaust, that's not all encompassing, right? At that point, you got to take a stand. So be careful about how we apply text. Do that which is good. Look what he says in verse 3. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4, he is the minister of God to thee for good. He's talking about rulers. If thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Again, government authority. He's establishing and reassuring us that there is authority in government. Wherefore, verse 5, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Know what is the right thing to do. And boy, what a test we've been in, right? In the last 2.5 years. What a test it's been. We don't even like to talk about it because it raises so much emotion and so much anger and anxiety. But guys, trying to do the right thing when there's different answers and different science coming from different directions, It's been a very careful walk. And I was receiving daily and almost hourly emails in the beginning of all this mess and in meetings every day about it. And so I had more information and different information. And yet I had people screaming and cussing and telling me how to live my life when I had more and better information than they did. And so be mindful that you know, you have to do what's right. And at some point, each one of us is responsible for ourselves. You know, you have to make your own decision, the best decision you can with the best information you have. And that applies to our current situation or any other situation. Paul says it too.
Well, God said, no, we got to go with the government. We kind of contradict them.
Well, and that's what I say. Take yourself back to the 1700s. Who is in charge? Right? King of England. Right? And there were a group of men that took a stand, not just men, but colonists that took a stand and said, no, we won't do it anymore. And that's what I say. So we have to put it in context. It's not a universal, obey the government kind of a deal. But in a general sense, how many of us are law-abiding citizens? Yeah, absolutely. It's part of who we are. We want to follow the law and cooperate. Because the law, as Paul says here, is for our good. It's for our benefit. Right? Speed laws, why do they exist? Right. They exist for our safety, right? For our protection. They're there because if you just get out here on Appalachian Parkway and you drive 100 miles an hour and somebody pulls out into the road to drive, you're not going to see them coming over these hills and all that kind of stuff. So there are laws there according to the roads, right, Brother Andy? A certain speed for a certain type of road in a certain location. And, so there are laws in place for our protection. We need to understand that's why they're there. But when those who pass the laws go beyond that and they make it out of, and it's no longer for our safety but for some other agenda, then we can understand that that's why we should resist. To fit the situation at hand. And one of the worst things that's happened, and I've said this several times in the last few weeks, is that this pandemic has really opened the eyes of a lot of government officials to realize how much power they have. And they are wielding it carelessly and recklessly. Anyway. So verse 6, he says, like Brother Roddy said, for this cause pay tribute also, so that's taxes. They are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, as I think about this custom, what is one of those customs that you think of? He says, render the custom. Anybody? Okay, those are customs. What about this one? I'm probably not doing it right because I never was trained. All right, what about this? Well, he's a man just like I am, right? Why am I saluting him? Now, okay, so the salute, okay, so there's a salute. Now, find me that in Scripture. Where is it? It's in there. Haman. Remember Haman? And Mordecai says, I'm not standing up to salute him. All right? He said, I'm not doing it. And of course, it was a disaster, right? Well, he's got to salute me, and I'm a superior, and I'm an official, and he doesn't stand up, he doesn't respect me. And so Haman was going to have him hanged for disrespect. Okay, but that's the type of thing we're talking about. So who was wrong, Haman or Mordecai? Right? He says the custom. So at some point, Mordecai had to take a stand. At some point, he had to push back. So we can find examples of this. So when we see this, understand he's talking generally, but there are going to be some situations where we say, I got to resist the government on this one. I got to stand against them on this one. And, of course, we got to be on the right side, okay? We don't resist just for the point of being a rebel, right? But at some point, we do have to push back against unfair laws, especially when it hinders ministry. You know, these churches, the government told these churches they couldn't meet, and it was a fight. I mean, I had a fight with one of our members about it. And because I'm not, number one, I don't want to say this all over again, but I will. This is not my church. I'm not the boss. I'm the servant of the church. If the church votes today to close for a week and not have any services because of COVID, then the church makes that decision. I don't make that decision. But for someone to tell me, well, you got to close, no, that's not my choice. Yes, I do believe that my input would weigh heavily, and I appreciate that. But again, even when we restricted, you know, downsized services because of the pandemic in the early month or two, there were people who still came. And I did not meet them at the door and tell them to go away. I'm not going to do it. And if the government comes to put chains on our doors because they say we can't meet, that's going to be in the newspaper. That's going to be a problem. So, again, when government starts laying restrictions that hinder ministry. Now, people adjusted. They had services in the parking lot, met in cars, or lots of other things that people did to accommodate the government restrictions. And still doing it. All right, anyway, let's move on, please. Verse 8, because there's some good stuff in here, too. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. This is so important. That's what we owe is love. And then we have to define the word. What does the word mean? I was watching something this morning. Love is a powerful emotion. Okay. Is love an emotion? You can't say no because it is. Is it an action? Yes, it is. I mean, love is more than, you can't just put it in a little box. But love in its essence is me wanting to benefit someone else. If I say I love you, that means I want the best for you. That means I want to benefit you. And not only do I want you to do well, but I'll do what I can to help that happen. That's what love is. So owe no man anything except love. And then by that you fulfill the law. Why? Because the Ten Commandments in particular are about relationships. It's all about relationships, how we treat one another, how we treat God. And so to love one another, if I love you, am I going to steal from you? Am I going to kill you? Am I going to lie to you? Am I going to take your wife? Right? So these are the things that the Bible, am I going to be jealous because you are doing well? No, it's not love. So owe them love. Verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. Namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who said that? Jesus. Briefly comprehended. He said, tie it all up like this. And that's what it means. Love one another. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time. That's what we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes, isn't it? This period in which we live. Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The church, the sleeping giant. Right? Just sleeping, just waiting for Jesus to come back, just waiting to go to heaven. No, Jesus said there's work to be done. We're sleeping and we're slumbering. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. No, when we got saved, who got saved the longest ago? Is that a fair question? Who got saved before 1970? Who got saved before 1960? Who got saved before 1950? Oh, the hands went down. How about that? Sister Polly, we passed away a couple weeks ago, and 95 years old. How long did she walk with Jesus? decades, long time. Imagine that. Let's see. Could she have been saved in the 1920s, 1930s? Wow. See, yeah, maybe 1930s. Incredible. And walk with Jesus. Now we're closer than when we believed. Closer to realizing it. Every day we're closer. Every day we're closer. I don't know when it is on God's calendar. I don't know if it's today. But I know it's closer than it was yesterday, because yesterday's gone. We're one day closer. Are we building anticipation? Right? Is momentum building? Boy, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Or are we lulled into sleep? Well, I didn't get to go yet. You know, where are we? But we're closer than we were. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not as in the night. You know, and things have changed with the introduction of electricity and, you know, modern day conveniences. So there are people who work at night, and there are people who party during the day. But the things that we associate rioting or partying, the raves, they even still have those raves. They meet in a secret place and somebody organizes a party, and then people show up and they have a party. And you only know about it by word of mouth, or, you know, it's not advertised really. And everybody shows up and has a party and they have a wild time. That's what he's talking about here by rioting. He says, nah, that usually happens at night. And drunkenness. Now, people get drunk during the day, but mostly people get drunk at night. And not in chambering. In that chambering, you know, is particular about fornication. In other words, going to bed with somebody. We're talking about sexual misbehavior. And wantonness and recklessness, just being wild and no rules. He says, strife and envy and fights, disagreements. He said, guys, shine the light on it. We've got to stop this stuff. You know, it's one thing for the world to act that way, but God's people shouldn't act that way. Verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How do we do that? Again, remember, we're mind, body, and soul. And the soul negotiates, or the Spirit of God in us as children of God, the Spirit negotiates between the body and the mind. And the mind says, hey, you should go running. And the body says, you crazy. And the Spirit says, well, you know, it'd be good for you. Right? The Spirit says you could at least go for a walk. Right? And that's simplifying it, but that's the reality. The body says, I want to go engage in some, you know, lustful activity. And the mind says, you'll ruin your life. And the Spirit says, listen to your mind. You could destroy everything, right? So there's this three-part, right? Mind, body, Spirit, just like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So we have those three parts, and they don't always agree. And so that regenerated, that saved, redeemed spirit that we have as children of God is always pulling us to the right way. Even when our mind or our body or together they disagree. So he says you got to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got to not make provision for the flesh. In other words, if you have an alcohol problem, don't drive by the liquor store. Right? Right? If you have a lust for somebody, don't hang out with them. Don't call them. Don't reach out to them. You know, those are the kind of things. And you could give yourself some separation, give yourself some relief from the temptation. So he says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. All right, anything else? We spent most of that talking about how we need to follow the law and realizing that there are also going to be times where we have to resist and fight back. But in the eternal context of government, God says, and Paul writes here, that government is there for our benefit. Right? How many of you have your own police force or your own fire force or your own military? Right? We don't. Right? We don't, right? So we rely on the government. I mean, how many of you even build the road out in front of your house? We don't. We rely on the government to take care of certain things. And so on one hand, we say the government is good. And on the other hand, we say the government is bad. And go ahead. Right. Well, you know, what we don't want to do is destroy the city and our neighbors because we're mad at the government. You know, that's not how it works. You know, we want to make sure that we... All right, I better quit there. There have been examples, recent examples.